Why is God doing this? He's doing this because he's for freedom. He's for freedom. You were built to be free. Let them be free. You should be free. Your family should be free.
Welcome. Easter is almost here. And that, as a young girl, that was always so exciting to me. Not quite as exciting as Christmas, but at Easter, I always got to buy a brand new, frilly, beautiful dress, matching shoes, matching hat, and then have lots of goodies. Here's a picture of me and my two sisters. Yeah, my younger sister, Nancy, and then my older sister, Joyce, and then me. And I don't look too happy. You know, I didn't like it. My mom always wanted us to wear the same dress. Yeah, anyway. And it, one of the most significant Easters for me when I was about 6 years old, and I was selected to recite a poem, The Legend of the Dogwood, in front of the entire church at an Easter program. Now, this was a church that mandated that women sit separated from the men, be totally silent, and cover their heads with a black veil. However, I was a small girl, so that didn't really apply to me. So I eagerly memorized the words to the poem, and I bravely stood to recite them. I do remember stumbling in one part, but nevertheless, this was a defining moment in my life. I felt as though I was made to do this. And I didn't really know what that meant because, after all, I was taught only men are qualified to speak. Women could not. So being a pastor or a preacher, that was not a future option. But thankfully, many years later, I met a very prominent man who affirmed I was called to stand and proclaim the gospel. And that man's name, Jesus Christ. And another special man, my hubby, Happy, was right there with him. So that was great. But since then, I have boldly spoken the very essence of what I first recited in that poem so long ago. Now, that poem, The Legend, and it is a legend, of the dogwood, explains how the large dogwood tree was used to create the cross on which Jesus was crucified. And in light of that very difficult task, Jesus makes this proclamation about the dogwood tree. He says, and this is the poem, "Never again shall the dogwood grow, large enough to be you so. Slender and twisted it shall be, with blossoms like the cross for all to see. As blood stains the petals marked in brown, the blossom's center wears a thorny crown. All who see it will remember me, crucified on a cross from the dogwood tree." I just want to say, as the dogwoods burst into bloom this spring, and they are a magnificent tree, note that cross-shaped blossom with the blood stains and a thorny crown at the center, and remember Jesus Christ and him crucified. Jesus Christ and him crucified. I echo the Apostle Paul's sentiment regarding preaching, where he wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 2, and he said, "I didn't use lofty words and impressive wisdom, for I decided that while I was with you, I would forget everything except Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit, so you would trust not in human wisdom, but in the power of God." Yes, preach Jesus Christ, him crucified. You know, if Jesus had only been crucified for the forgiveness of all our sins, that would have been enough. But we serve a God who always does more than enough. He not only gives us complete forgiveness of sin, he also graciously gives us total freedom now and forever. He is a God of more than enough. So may we be awakened to freedom today with hearts just that overflow with gratitude, right? Our God is a God of more than enough. That's my prayer, even as we continue. We're in this series called Awaken to Freedom. Focus this week. It's a very special week, Holy Week, the week before Easter. And I know Easter, you know, that's a familiar story to many. And I think familiarity can often be like a sleeping pill, right? We think, oh, I know that story. Oh, yeah, Jesus died, rose again. So familiar, we snooze and eat lots of chocolate and jelly beans for sure. Well, I pray today the Holy Spirit awakens us because he actually wants to speak a very important word to us. Awaken to freedom, more than enough. Let's pray. Father, you are extravagant. Awaken us today to a deeper, broader level of how you are a God who's more than enough, as demonstrated in your love for us in the gift of your only Son, in whose name we pray, Jesus. Okay. Our God is more than enough. Now, maybe that hasn't been your experience. Maybe for you, you're like, I never seem to have enough, be enough, do enough. Let me tell you a story. I was part of a group of Vineyard women leaders who traveled to Israel several summers ago. And our leader was a wonderful young woman, Kim Frolinger. She's from America, but she travels in Israel, has lived there, loves the people, loves the land, and she speaks Hebrew. So it was a magnificent time. And one evening, we were all sitting around after the day's events, chatting and discussing. And someone said to me, what do you think, Di? Directing the question to me. And suddenly Kim looks up and she goes, wait, is that what people call you? Di? Well, I guess on that trip I'd just been Diane. I don't know. But I said, oh yeah, Di is what many people call me. And then she looked at me and said, slowly, profoundly, and I think prophetically, do you know what that means in Hebrew? I said, I have no idea. Di in Hebrew means enough. You are enough. Well, like, why did tears start welling up in my eyes? Why did I sense the Holy Spirit speaking? Well, I think my experience is one that many people have had, a lifelong question, right? Am I enough? Have I done enough? Have I read my Bible enough, confessed my sins enough, been a good enough wife, mother, worker, served enough, surrendered enough, repented enough, all of it. And Kim was telling me prophetically and powerfully, she said, no, you are enough. Not because of anything that I had done, but because of all that he has done. See, I'm enough, not because of anything I've done on my own, but because he, Jesus, my Lord, my Savior, my lover, my King, is more than enough. And he lives in me. He is a God of more than enough. That's going to be my main idea today as we explore our scripture, that our God is more than enough. And because this is Holy Week, the week before Easter, or Resurrection Sunday, of course, I want to look at a very important event that happened during that week. Now, today is Palm Sundays. Sunday, and around the world, you know, kids and adults alike are waving palm branches, right? To remember that Jesus rode on that donkey into Jerusalem to begin the Passover feast. Hailed as king. And brutally crucified a few days later. But I want to look at what happened on Thursday when Jesus celebrated the Passover meal with his disciples for the last time. Many people call this the Last Supper, and we point to it often as the model for how we share communion here. We're going to actually share communion today. However, the traditional Passover meal was not about communion as we know it. Passover was not really about the forgiveness of sin. Passover was all about freedom. See, the Passover is one of the main feasts that Jewish people, they still celebrate today. I think it starts this week, April 1st at sundown in some parts of the world, and then Thursday in other parts of the world. But Passover remembers the incredible deliverance of the Jewish people from cruel Pharaoh and the Egyptian slavery as it's recorded in the book of Exodus. So Passover celebrates freedom, freedom from bondage, freedom from death, freedom to be God's people and worship him. So this is where, like, knowing the whole Bible, because it tells one story, we can be awakened to, like, the beauty, the magnificence of God's incredible plan and the fact that he is always more than enough. So we're going to turn to our Bible text now and read about the Passover meal that Jesus shared with his disciples the night he was betrayed and the night before he was crucified. Now, I'm going to read the text in Luke 22, which right now in our one-year Bible, we're in the Gospel of Luke, but we're not at chapter 22 yet. However, if you've been tracking with us in the one-year Bible, you've already read this account in both Matthew and Mark, because they also record. But I'm looking now at Luke 22, starting with verse 7. Now, the festival of unleavened bread, also called Passover, arrived when the Passover lamb is sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John ahead and said, "Go, prepare the Passover meal so we can eat it together." And he gives these specific instructions about they're going to meet a man, the man's going to show them a large upper room, and that's where they could share the Passover meal. Okay, verse 13. They went off to the city, they found everything just as Jesus had said, and they prepared the Passover meal there. And when the time came, Jesus and the apostles sat down together at the table. Jesus said, "I have been very eager to eat this Passover meal with you before my suffering begins. For I tell you now that I won't eat this meal again until its meaning is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. And then he said, "Take this and share it among yourselves. For I will not drink wine again until the kingdom of God has come." He took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took another cup of wine and said, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you." Now we have to understand, these words were shocking. They're confusing to the disciples. This is not the way the Passover meal was supposed to proceed. Now there were always multiple cups of wine, as we read, and there was unleavened bread, as we see in this passage. But then Jesus makes these veiled statements about imminent suffering, that he won't share the meal again until the kingdom of God comes. Then, he says, the bread is his body. The wine is his own blood of the new covenant. And we have to understand, again, this is not how a Passover meal usually progresses at all. Something very mysterious, but very magnificent and powerful is about to happen. But for us to understand, let's look back. Let me give you a brief history from the Bible where all of this started. Back in the second book of the Bible, the book of Exodus, we have the story. And this is where Moses, the leader of God's people, had been demanding that the oppressive Pharaoh let God's people go, free them from the cruel enslavement and horrific, like, brick-making bondage that they were in. And there have been 9 destructive plagues, miraculous signs and wonders demonstrating that the God of Israel is the true God. And let me just say parenthetically, our God doesn't change. He still is the only true God, and he still is doing miraculous signs and wonders. Okay, very important. But Pharaoh has refused through all the 9 plagues. He's hardened his heart. He won't let the people go. So God is about to unleash the 10th plague, the death of every firstborn son of both man and beast. But to protect his people, God gave very specific instructions. He said each Israelite family was to slaughter a perfect lamb, drain the blood into a bowl, then apply the blood to the doorpost with hyssop. Here's a picture, and I love this picture. But I was struck again as I looked at that picture. The whole family, father, mother, children, all participating. You know, that father, that mother, they're doing something pretty weird, you know, brushing the doorpost with blood. But I want you to know, faithful obedience to God sometimes looks weird. And I want to encourage you, parents, demonstrate faithful obedience to the living God in front of your children, because this marked them. All right. That was just an aside. Okay. I couldn't resist that. I was so struck by that. Then they roasted the lamb to eat with bitter salad greens and bread made without yeast, unleavened bread. And they were standing, dressed, ready to go, because they're about to experience complete deliverance, freedom, as the destroyer, the death angel, went throughout all the land, killing the Egyptian firstborn, livestock and sons, from the son of the lowliest prisoner to the firstborn son of the mighty Pharaoh. However, when the death angel saw the blood of the lamb on the Israelite family's doorpost, he would, are you ready? Pass over. And the firstborn son would not die. There was complete, complete protection by the blood of the lamb. And scripture reveals a loud wailing prevailed throughout the land as all the Egyptians rose to find their firstborn sons dead, including the son of the formidable Pharaoh. And Pharaoh cried, "Get out." And after 430 years, to the exact date on the calendar, God's people, enslaved by the cruel, oppressive Egyptian, God's people walked out in freedom. That's exactly what Jesus and his disciples were remembering, and they were celebrating at this Passover meal, as commanded by God, freedom. So back to our Luke text. It's important to note, Jesus never mentions, nor is there any sign, that they ate the Passover lamb, which was really an important part of the traditional celebration. They did not eat the Passover lamb, because in just a few hours, the true Passover lamb, the Lamb of God, Jesus himself, would be slaughtered. And his blood shed, not on a doorpost, but on a cross, outside the city, on a hill called the Skull. And when the death angel, the destroyer, the devil, saw the blood, the pure, sinless, spotless blood of the Lamb of God, the blood that carries indestructible life, he knew death could not hold Jesus. Death would have to pass over, because Jesus would rise again. And his blood, his death, doesn't just forgive sins. He will do so much more. He will defeat death. He will defeat the devil. He will wipe out all sin. He will rise again to give new life to all who will receive. I want you to know, Jesus sets all people free. Jesus is not just the Lamb of the forgiven. Jesus is the Lamb of the free. He is the Lamb of the free. Well, I wanted to get a better grasp on the impact of this Passover meal and how, you know, distinct it was in the whole scriptural story, this Last Supper that Jesus shared. So I do what I often do. I'm a visual learner. It's like, can I find a movie clip of that? And I go to The Chosen, which many of you have watched The Chosen, and they do take poetic license, but for the most part, they strive for historical accuracy. But as I watched the clip, I discovered a fascinating aspect of the Passover meal I never even knew existed, but it's portrayed in this clip. It's a tradition, and it's still celebrated today by many of the Jews who observe Passover. And in the Jewish Passover meal, there is a beloved song. It's a poem. It can be sung or chanted, called the Dayenu. And that word means it would have been enough. And there's Dai, that's the enough, would have been enough. And the people of Israel would recount the mighty acts of God with gratitude. Okay, I thought, let's watch and watch the impact as together they recite the Dayenu.
John, will you begin the Dayenu for us?
Yes. Of course, Rabbi.
If he had brought us out from Egypt and not carried out judgments against them,
it would have been enough.
If he had carried out judgments against them and not destroyed their idols,
it would have been enough.
If he had destroyed their idols and not killed their firstborn,
it would have been enough.
If he had killed their firstborn and had not given us their wealth,
it would have been enough.
If he had given us their wealth and not split the sea for us,
it would have been enough.
If he had split the sea for us and not taken us through it on dry land,
it would have been enough.
If he had taken us through it on dry land, not drowned our enemies in it,
it would have been enough.
If he had drowned our enemies in it and had not supplied our needs in the desert for 40 years,
it would have been enough.
If he had supplied us in the desert for 40 years and not fed us the manna,
it would have been enough.
If he had fed us the manna and had not given us the Shabbat,
it would have been enough.
If he had given us the Shabbat and not brought us before Mount Sinai,
it would have been enough.
If he had brought us before Mount Sinai and not given us the Torah,
it would have been enough.
If he had given us the Torah but not brought us to the land of Israel,
it would have been enough.
And if he had brought us to the land of Israel and not built for us the holy temple,
it would have been enough.
Amen. Every single act of God was so gracious, so generous, so mighty that even one of them would have been enough. And yet, God didn't stop with one act. He kept delivering, he kept providing, kept revealing, he kept drawing near, he kept loving. That's the story of Israel. Every act was enough to leave them speechless, and yet another blessing was followed by another. That's the character of our God who does not change. Okay, he's not stingy in mercy. He's not reluctant in love. He's not minimal in redemption. God doesn't ask, oh, what's the least I can do for my people? No, he's a God of abundance, of lavish love. He is God who is more than enough. And that's the story of Jesus, our Passover lamb, the lamb of the free. You know, the old Exodus brought Israel out of Egypt. The new Exodus in Christ brought us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the beloved Son. The old Passover spared the firstborn sons. The new Passover brings many sons and daughters to glory. The old covenant written on stones. The new covenant written on our hearts. The old meal remembered deliverance. The Lord's Supper proclaims freedom, and deliverance is still alive with power today. Yeah, I want you to know Jesus does more than enough. He not only defeats the prince of darkness, he frees us from death and gives us eternal life. He not only gives us eternal life, he frees us from all sin. He not only forgives of all sin, he frees us to be clean, holy, righteous. He not only gives us his righteousness, he frees us from all sickness and disease. He not only gives us healing and health, he frees us to have total peace with God. He not only gives us peace with the Father, he frees us to become beloved sons and daughters. He welcomes us not as only as sons and daughters. He frees us to be filled with his very own spirit. He not only frees us with his own spirit, he frees us to free others in his name. Jesus is the Lamb of the free. We're going to celebrate that today as we share communion, but let me revisit where I started with that dilemma. Some people live with a constant fear. Have I done enough? Am I enough? Have I repented enough, prayed enough, cried enough, performed enough? You know, we live in a world that's totally shaped by complaint. I don't have enough. By scarcity. By fear of not enough. Not enough strength. Not enough money. Not enough health. Not enough certainty. Not enough time. I want you to know the enemy, Satan, the liar, that should tell us something, says it is never enough. And Jesus says, it is finished. It is more than enough. You know, Paul wrote, he wrote a letter to the Romans, and I love this text where he said, since God did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believes in him will have everlasting life. Maybe you've never received that. Maybe you didn't know. Our God is a God of more than enough. Today, you can simply say, Jesus, I believe. I receive you, all that you've done for me. It's more than enough. And I just speak that out to some of you here today. It really is that simple. Jesus, I believe. I receive all that you are and all that you've done. You know, sitting on a sofa over at 405 North Matthews, which is now the Beckman Institute, but back then it was a newlywed house of sorts. I had no intention of giving my life to Jesus Christ till I found myself saying, Jesus, I want to know you. I'd known religion. I'd known church. I didn't know Jesus. And maybe that's where some of you are today. It's really as simple as saying, Jesus, I want to know you. He takes it from there. Now, when Jesus sat down at that table with his disciples in Luke 22, remember again, it's not an ordinary meal. It was the Passover meal. So already the whole table, it spoke of bondage and blood and deliverance and covenant, remembrance, freedom. Again, they were remembering that night where God delivered them. You know, the blood of the lamb, the passing over of the judgment, the breaking of Pharaoh's grip, all of it, the beginning of freedom. And then, as we said, Jesus did something astounding. He took some bread. Now, his wasn't this puffy. He had unleavened bread. But he took some bread. I love this. He gave thanks for it. Then he broke it in pieces. And he said, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup of wine, and he said, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. What? Covenants are always confirmed with an animal's blood. No, my blood, which is poured out for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And with that, Jesus revealed He is the true Passover lamb. The lamb of God, the lamb who is more than enough, the lamb of the free. So as we celebrate today, Jesus wants us to remember that. He is, and he's done more than enough. He is the lamb of the free. Again, God has not only been sufficient in Christ, he's been really extravagant. I mean, we should actually be the most grateful, thankful, wildly joyous people on earth. And we're not grateful because, oh, life is easy. No, we're grateful because the lamb has overcome, okay? Now, many people, many traditions call communion the Eucharist. That word simply means thanksgiving. You see, communion isn't a dead ritual. It's joyous thanksgiving. It's extravagant gratitude and joy. And we're remembering all. Everything Jesus has done, how we've been delivered out of the dominion of darkness and brought into freedom. The blood has been shed, freedom is ours.